This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Friday and Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. It's been a great time. Great things happening out there right now. Some bad things, but that's freaking the way it goes. The good news is Randeep is still in the
right. High expense, no security.
We don't have time to get into that right now. Still holding out. Hey, Randeep, you're welcome on this show anytime, brother. We're with you. Jesse, what is the end game going to be for the communists in European countries letting all these Muslims in? Since communism doesn't thrive in Muslim countries, how is the end game going to play out? Any thoughts? Semper Fi from a chaplain who served with Marines. How about that? Says I can use his name. His name is Ron. How about that? Yeah, the Muslims are going to win. The communists in Europe, they struck the devil's bargain. We are going to open up our borders. We will flood our country with refugees and people from Islamic countries. And the deal has been quite simple. The Muslims will come in. The Muslims will be given legal protection for when they start raping and murdering everybody, which of course they do. And then the Muslims will vote in one gigantic bloc for the communists and keep those communists in power. They all think they're winning. The communists who are sitting in positions of government, they think they're winning. The Islamists they've imported, they think they're winning. But I don't know about you, I've noticed a trend, because I do peek in on other governments from time to time. In the UK, for instance, the names of the people in government seem to be changing, don't they? Oh, you leftists thought you had a real good thing going, but where there used to be a Gary, there's now a Muhammad. The communists are going to lose that. The Islamists are very, very purposeful with what they're doing. It's clear as day. Anyone with two eyes can see it. And the only comfort I have is knowing that in the end, the communists who let them all in will be slaughtered. They will. And I'm going to enjoy watching it. What, Chris? It's not that I'm a bad person. I enjoy seeing bad people suffer. It's not that I'm a bad person. It's not that. Although I am. Hey, Jesse, I recently I met a dime online and met her in person. She seems to be a really genuinely awesome chick. I really like her, but she's not a U.S. citizen. She moved here 6 years ago from Nicaragua and only speaks Spanish, but is learning English for me. What should I do, brother? Should I stay with her? Deport her. I'd call ICE on her tomorrow. No, I'm kidding. If she's here illegally, you better get rid of her. If you don't want to get rid of her, if you are in love, you found yourself a Nicaraguan dime who makes you tacos, and God bless you for that, marry her. You know, getting married is good, right? And I'm sorry to burst everyone's bubble on this modern thing that they try to sell people about how, well, there's no rush, just wait. Wait till you're 35. And don't get me wrong, you can wait. It's your life. You can never get married. That's fine, too. But no, get married at 18. If you find somebody you love, he loves you, she loves you, get married. Nothing wrong with it. Your life will be better. You will. My life's better. I left the house. I was cleaning the toilets today. That is a wonderful, wonderful thing. And it was wonderful to walk in while she was cleaning the toilets and say, What are you making for dinner tonight? That really landed well. Hey, Jesse, why do you think Kushner has Trump's ear? That would be Jared Kushner. Why do you think Kushner has Trump's ear like he does? Most of Trump's screw-up seem to have Kushner's fingerprints on it. Other than being his son-in-law, why does Kushner wield so much influence in Trump's administration? And this perhaps is a blind spot of his. Okay, so there's probably a couple things to that that you can probably hang a couple things around Trump's neck when it comes to Jared Kushner. The first one is, remember, Trump was a very, very public person before he was a politician. And anybody who is familiar with Trump knows Donald Trump has a great deal of respect for his daughter, Ivanka. And she is, not politically, she's not my speed at all. She's very much a lefty. But politically, she's not mine. But she is a very sharp person. A very, very sharp person. Trump relies and has relied on her for advice many, many, many times. He trusts her. She's family. So automatically, level of respect for Ivanka. Now, Jared Kushner. Pause for a second. Do you know why billionaires buy professional sports teams? Professional football, soccer, baseball, basketball. Why do billionaires do it? The money? Oh, yeah, they make some money on it. No. They buy professional sports teams because they're tired of being an anonymous billionaire and they want everyone to know they're a billionaire. If I asked you to start listing billionaires, you would probably say Bezos, Elon Musk, Bill Gates. And it wouldn't take long before you started naming owners of sports teams because you don't have a list of billionaires out there. This was a weird way of me telling you there are more billionaires out there than you can possibly fathom, and they just exist behind the scenes. Did you know that Jared Kushner is worth more money than Donald Trump? Know that? He is. Jared Kushner, business-wise, is an incredibly successful person. Now, here's something we know about Trump. Trump's haters and Trump's super fans, and maybe you're in between, maybe you're one of those things, I don't care. But everybody has to acknowledge this about Trump. Trump loves successful people and winners, no matter what field they're in. It could be a sports star who's really good at it. Donald Trump loves that stuff. It could be a businessman who's worth billions of dollars. For Donald Trump, when he sees success like that, you are elevated in Donald Trump's mind. No matter what, when you win, when you're successful like that, you are elevated in his mind. Now, Jared Kushner, insanely successful businessman, married to Ivanka, someone Donald Trump already trusts a lot. He is primed to be somebody Trump is going to listen to. And if you would like to know the kind of influence he has on Donald Trump, I don't know the name of the book, but Peter Navarro wrote a book. Remember, Peter Navarro was part of the first Trump administration. Then the FBI arrested him, even though he didn't do anything wrong. You know, standard things. Peter Navarro wrote a book. He hates Jared Kushner. Peter Navarro laid it all out in that book that Jared Kushner, what did he call himself? I think he called himself the Trump Whisperer, that he could move Trump on major, major issues, and he pretty much never moved him in the direction you or I would want. And Peter Navarro was furious about the whole thing, obviously, still has a bit of an axe to grind. If you want to know the nitty-gritty on all that stuff, there you go. There's some of it. Jesse, I've said it before, I'll say it again. Greenland, Venezuela, Iran, Cuba. Trump can't get anything through this feckless, pathetic GOP Congress. Trump wants to leave a mark. He wants to leave a legacy. He doesn't need Congress to do that with Venezuela, Iran, and Cuba. He can be the guy who created peace in the Middle East. It's not what any of us want, but it's what we get because the clowns in Congress we have. Says his name is Chris. Yeah, I mean, Trump's saying stuff like this now that looks like Iran might be wrapping up.
Cuba's been a terribly run country for a long time. It's got a bad system. It's been very oppressive, as you know. And they were treated very badly. In many cases, family members have been killed. They've been beaten up and mugged and like terrible things happened in Cuba. And Cuba's a failing nation. And we're going to do this. And we may stop by Cuba after we're finished with this. But Cuba is a nation that was just been horribly run for many years by Castro.
There's a lot of chatter about Cuba now. Donald Trump has brought it up several times of maybe we'll stop by Cuba afterwards. We're coming for Cuba. Once we're done it, we're coming for Cuba. And there is probably something to that email. Trump can't get the SAVE Act through Congress. He can't get some domestic things done, but he wants to do things. So load up the military and go foreign adventuring. Probably something to it. All right. Talk about other things. Before we do that, let's talk about Relief Factor. Let's talk about this. You are in pain and you don't have to be. You don't need to live with pain. Relief Factor is a supplement, 100% drug-free. It is a supplement that will it supports your body's natural response to inflammation. You are in pain because you are inflamed. Your neck hurts, and that's why. Your back hurts, and that's why. You can't go golfing anymore, and that's why. And you've accepted that it's just always going to be there, but that's just simply not true at all. Over a million people have tried Relief Factor, and nearly 70% go on to order it again. You do not need to take my word for it that it works, although I'm telling you, it works. Try it for 3 weeks. 3 weeks of it is only $19.95. Call 1-800-4-RELIEF or go to relieffactor.com. 3 weeks of it, $19.95. Go try it. We'll be back.
Missed out?
Catch up.
JesseKellyShow.com.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Friday. If you would like to email us, we are still live here, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Hey, Dr. J, recently I've thought about becoming a necklace guy. I've noticed more and more men wearing gold chains. Do I go for it? And if I do, do I go with a simple gold chain or with a bigger statement piece like a sweet cross or some type of cool Catholic saint like a mob guy would wear? Have you ever been a necklace guy? Can I pull it off at 42? I welcome your opinion, says his name is Sam. Sam, if you're not Italian or Puerto Rican, I would suggest not becoming a necklace guy. That's one. Let me explain. I have twice in my life attempted to become a necklace guy. Let me finish, Chris. The first time, it's actually funny you brought that up, it was the cross thing. It was a little silver necklace thing with just a little cross on it, nothing big. Maybe lasted a week. And then I got tired of having to take off the necklace and put on the necklace, and you have the little clasp thing on there that your fingers. I just got tired of it, so I stopped wearing it. And this is, I think I was a teenager at the time. Now, let's fast forward a little bit. Remember when we did that? Well, maybe you weren't listening back then, but once upon a time, we as a show, and anyone who, you know, could afford and had the time to go, we all did a big trip to Israel, a big Holy Land tour. And we did the whole thing. I mean, the Dead Sea, where they crucified, where Chris's people crucified Jesus, where everything, we did the whole thing. Chris was there, everything. It was fun. It was like 200 of us or something. Wasn't it like 200 of us, Chris? Something like that? Yeah. There was a lot of people. At one point on that trip, we went to this shop, and this shop had all kinds of things in it that, as you can imagine, I would nerd out about. What kind of things? A Roman coin, like an actual Roman coin. They had them. They had hand-carved nativity sets. Like, it's one of these places. And I went in this place, and I found a necklace. a necklace that had a historical coin inside of it. A historical coin. I thought it looked cool. And I thought, you know what? I'm buying it. Screw it. I splurged on it. Oh, it cost a fortune, Chris. I splurged on it and I bought it. I was so excited about that purchase, having a piece of history. I'm going to wear this everywhere. I've never worn it one time. I look at it and I think I don't want to break it. I don't want to lose it. I don't want to put it on. I don't want to. Either you are a necklace guy or you aren't a necklace guy. I have nothing against being a necklace guy. But you are one or you aren't one. It's not something you can force. It either happens or it doesn't happen. All right? Jesse, I'm worn out with politics. Tell me your favorite book of the Bible. It says her name is Annie. I've always liked James. I'll tell you my favorite verse of the Bible. We actually have a placard. I don't know what you call it. We have a poster. It's not a poster. We have this hanging in the house somewhere, and someone made it for us. Psalm 27:5. I've always loved it my entire life. I don't know why. For in the day of trouble, the Lord will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent and set me high upon a rock. I don't know why. I've always loved it. What, Chris? I said James, Chris. Chris is trying to say I can't pick Psalm. Yeah, I can pick a psalm. I can pick whatever I want. Okay, well, I could have just said psalms, Chris, but I didn't. All right? I didn't. Jesse, in advance of our 250th, would you consider doing a history episode about the Battle of Long Island or any other interesting part of the War for Independence? People are hungry to reconnect with our history. Yes. The answer to your question is yes. Once I get the... You know how I told you earlier... I've been working on this Napoleon's Retreat from Russia history episode. I forget who requested it, but I agreed to do it a long time ago. And I love the story. It's a horrible story, a fascinating story. What's that saying? Bit off more than you can chew. It's not that I bit off more than I can chew. I love this period of time and I love the story. This has taken so much more time to try to wrap my mind around it than I thought it was going to take. And that's why I haven't done a history episode in a while. I'm trying to get this one done. And once I get this one done and actually do it for you, then I can tackle a few other of these things. I do want to do at least one, maybe more, of kind of a Revolutionary War type history story, because it is our 250th birthday, and we should, as Americans, we should be celebrating it and celebrating it loudly, and we should connect with that part of our history and know what a fascinating founding we have. Remember, most revolutions, they end up horrible. Even the successful ones, the new government you get's worse than the old one. We have a really unique story here in that we had one, and man, did it work out great for us. It was wonderful. Anyway, we'll dig into that. We have more next.
Get the cure for rhinos. Weekdays with the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a magnificent Friday, and Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Let's get back to it. Bronco, a hit piece by the mainstream media on a Republican is a daily occurrence. What do you think is behind the media reporting on Swalwell? Any well-informed person knows he had a lot of skeletons. Well, a Democrat hit job is what it is. Democrats took him out. Not Republicans. Democrats took out Eric Swalwell. Eric Swalwell was in the way. Somehow, some way, they wanted him gone. I wouldn't be surprised if they asked him to go and he said no. Remember, it's always easier to just bribe somebody than it is to blackmail somebody. It's just easier. It's easier for everyone involved. I wouldn't be surprised if they said, hey, Eric, you don't get to be governor of California. I'll tell you what, if we get a retirement or something like that, we'll back you to be a senator from California, but we need you to back out of the governor's race. And Swalwell, being the moron that he is, probably didn't did not fully understand the kind of people he was dealing with, and he probably said no. And after that, well, now his life is destroyed. Hey, Jesse, I think you're missing a key point on some of your Iran analysis. When Iran started executing its citizens, Trump came out very publicly and forcefully came out against it, drawing what many could call a, quote, red line. In the past, Trump had criticized Obama concerning Syria and others about drawing red lines and not standing by them. Trump likes to think of himself as a man who keeps his word, and having drawn that red line may have felt obligated to act. Of course, this doesn't detract from other motivations, but surely plays a big part in his decision to act. Says his name is Mike, and he's listening from prison. I think that's a very good point, Mike. I think there's probably something to that. When Iran had all these huge demonstrations, thousands of people, from what we can tell, you know, it's always grainy internet video, thousands of people taking it to the streets. And then Iran did what Iran does and just started butchering everybody. Trump came out and said, hey, you better stop or that's a red line. So let's follow that logic along, though. Let's say that's part of the reason Trump went over there. I told you to stop. You didn't stop. Now we're coming. Okay. Well, this is why it's important for all of us, for you, me, and it's most definitely important for the president of the United States to be careful what you say on social media. It just is. It's as I've told you before, you're going to have enemies. There's no question about it. Be very, very careful who you publicly blast on social media. Be careful. There's oftentimes no need to do it. No need to do it. You're not gaining anything from it. But Trump is, look, he's never been able to control himself on social media. And sometimes it's wildly entertaining. And sometimes you wake up and everyone in your life is texting you saying, oh my gosh, what did he say this time? He can't stop, and he's never going to stop, by the way. People stop. I wish he'd stop. Trump is who he is. He's not going to change. He's going to get on social media tonight at midnight while everyone else is sleeping, and he's going to call some actress fat and say her movies suck. And you're going to wake up in the morning and you're going to say, oh my gosh, what is he doing? That's what he does. That's what he does. Accept it or don't accept it, that's what he does. If you are correct, and you could be correct about that being part of his reasoning, I mean, you don't march the country off to war because you said something on social media you shouldn't have said. You don't do that. Dear sea urchin attack survivor, with Trump's non-stance on the Dignity Act, or whatever that stupid name is for it, do you think he's wishy-washy on it to pass the SAVE Act? Use the Dignity Act to force the passage of the SAVE Act. What's your thoughts on it? No, my thoughts on it are this. Almost all the forces surrounding I was about to say Trump, but it really applies to all the leadership of the Republican Party. This applies to John Thune, Donald Trump, Mike Johnson, virtually all the forces around them. I'm talking about big donors, advisors, these types. All these people want more foreigners in the country. All of them do. Your desires for immigration and mass deportation, that is a widespread desire for the right. It's probably the most passionately held belief right now for the Republican voter. The high up, certainly the older leadership of the Republican Party, does not share that at all. These people would have joined with Democrats to pass an amnesty bill years ago if they weren't all mortally afraid of losing their seats. That's how it goes. And so when Mike Johnson flies out to California to do a big fundraiser for the House Republicans, he drives up to a mansion, and it's nothing but millionaires and billionaires in the mansion, all of them business people. And when these people sit down and start stroking $50,000 checks to the National Republican Congressional Committee, they do so as they're sitting there with Mike Johnson informing him that they need another 1,000 people from China and 2,000 from India, and he needs to make sure that happens. You are not in that mansion with them saying, no, I'm tired of Hindu temples in my community. No. You're not there. I'm not there. When Donald Trump goes golfing, we've talked about this Wall Street Journal story over and over again. He's not golfing with me, and he's not golfing with you. He's golfing with powerful business associates, wealthy, powerful businessmen, and they want more foreigners in the country. And he gets off the golf course and promptly goes back and approves double the number of H-2B visas. The powerful forces in the Republican Party, the money is against your wishes when it comes to foreigners. It is. And Republicans will always do this thing because they know how you feel. They'll do this thing of, well, we're against illegal immigrants. We're definitely against illegal immigrants. But I mean, we're a nation of immigrants.
So we want immigration. We want legal immigration, people that want to make the country stronger. We're a nation of immigrants. We understand.
That's how they talk. But back to the good news. Those are almost all the older Republicans who are leaving, retiring, on their way out in their final years. We have a lot of younger, up-and-coming Republicans, and they are positively bloodthirsty on this issue, as they should be, and that is our future. Will we get those people in power before we are completely overrun by third-world barbarians? I don't know. It is a race. Every time I talk to someone about this issue, people who break it down by numbers, they all describe it to me in that exact same way. We are in a race, and I don't know who's going to win. Will we eventually pass a tipping point where we have too many foreigners, and that's just what we have become as a country now? Just a big economic zone? Or will we get enough of them deported that we can go back to having clean streets, cheaper health care, affordable housing, a job market for you and your child? I don't know. I can't promise you we will, and I can't tell you we won't. I don't know. But it is most definitely a race. And if you're angry with me that I continue to put pressure on the administration to deport more people, one, I don't give a crap that you're angry. And two, I will continue to do so because I view the entire United States of America is on the line. We cannot soften. We cannot weaken. It is time to deport 50 million at least out of this daggone country. Every single illegal. And then we'll start moving on to the legal ones and denaturalizing and deporting them as well. It's time. We are full. Get them out. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
I like it.
Returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Final segment of the Jesse Kelly Show. Chris, have you checked your email? Would you do me a favor and check it again in case Rand Deep reached out?
Higher expense, no security, no safety, no literacy. My plan, MACA plan, Make Affordable California Again, will recognize children who maintain GPA level 3.87, 3.93.
I love it how he doesn't know what GPA level he's talking about.
Will support first buying car upon graduation from high school, will credit $505 plus first year, no registration fee. Let's support our children. Let's support our schooling system. Thank you.
Finally, a leader, a man with vision. We're with you, Randeep. Would love to have you on. Jesse, with rumors circulating that Justice Alito may possibly retire or step down, what do you think is the right move here? You know, if I sound indecisive, it is because I am most definitely indecisive. Justice Alito and Clarence Thomas, thank God for those two men. They are just so reliable. Clarence Thomas has been a warrior for our side for years. He's just the best. Alito, too. I don't mean to shortchange Alito. They are, however, getting old. So you would think, well, hey, at least there's an outside chance we're going to even lose the Senate. Not saying we will, but there's a chance. Maybe the time for them to retire and be replaced is now, so we can get a replacement in there. That's a very logical way of looking at it. However, let's talk about the Republican ability to select Supreme Court justices. I don't know whether the good ones simply aren't out there. They're not available. I don't know if our selection process isn't what it should be. But when the communists select a justice, they get a loyal communist. You know how they're going to vote. Every single case that comes up, they will vote to move the communist revolution forward every single time. Sotomayor or Kagan or Ketanji Brown Jackson, or you, there is no mystery. You know exactly how they're going to vote. Republicans, when they select ones, man, I was about to say it's a coin flip. I don't even know if our odds are 50-50. Yeah, we've gotten some good ones, some bad ones, some average ones. I don't want Clarence Thomas or Alito to be replaced by a Democrat. That would be disastrous. Of course it would be disastrous. But I also don't want Clarence Thomas replaced with Amy Coney Barrett part two either. I'm very torn on it. I'm very torn on it. I'm not torn on Super Sure. I am such a big believer in businesses simplifying things because I see how complicated insurance specifically is. Why do you have to? You have multiple policies, multiple applications, and you don't even have a clear view of how it works for your business. Or what are you overinsured because they gave you some blanket plan? Are you underinsured because they gave you some blanket plan? What do you even have? What's covered? Stop dealing with all these different insurance policies and brokers. One agency, one super agency, one powerful platform. They will find you all the policies you need. They will let you know specifically what's in it, what's not in it. One person. You deal with Super Sure from now on. They cover everything for you. By the way, they even give you a full report on your current policies. No obligation. They'll tell you, well, this is what you have or don't have. SuperSure.com/Jesse is where you go. SuperSure.com/Jesse. Paid for by Super Sure Insurance Agency, LLC, a licensed insurance agency.
And now...
here's a headline.
By, go, you know the thing.
Emails!
We didn't get to.
Jesse, are we really done? Like Minnesota? Only 2 years ago, there were headlines everywhere about the populist movement, Trumpism, and elections everywhere going conservative. On Sunday, Hungary had a 78% voter turnout, a huge number, and a globalist candidate walked away with the win after 16 years of Orban's conservative management. That would be like Florida suddenly losing the governorship of Democrats. So this guy didn't say I can use his name, so I'm not. So maybe you're super into that European politics stuff. Orban, the quote right-winger in Hungary, lost his election. Is this some indication that that country is going to go communist? Well, they're going to be more communist now that they elected a communist. But remember, all people everywhere, they get tired of the government they currently have. They get tired of it, and they decide to make a change. 16 years. We've never had a president for 16 years. Oh, never mind. I forgot about FDR. Couldn't friggin' get rid of the guy. But anyway, 16 years. I'm not saying there isn't a big commie movement over there, but maybe, just maybe, the people unhappy with this, unhappy with that, decided, you know what? Time for a change. I wouldn't... look, don't cry about it. It's all right. We'll be fine. It seems, Jesse, every few years... speaking of which... Americans just go back and forth with House control, Senate control, presidential control, which feels like no real progress. How can you beat the game if you keep hitting the reset button? If these communists win over America, will you give us another book for how to survive in America's new communist era? Quit asking me for a new book. By the way, I still have that book, the free one I'll send you, the little red book at jessekelly.com. You go to jessekelly.com. And you put in your email address, The book gets emailed out to you. There's no funny business, no nothing. What, Chris? When's the cookbook come out? Chris, nobody wants that. All right. Nobody wants that. Hey, Jesse, as the fifth anniversary of your show with Premiere draws near on June 28th, any chance for a party? Maybe a Jesse Kelly poker tournament at the Texas Card House or something like that? I'm not a poker guy. Let me clarify. I kind of wish I was a poker guy. What? Hold on, Chris. Why not? You just can't stomach losing money. Yes, I can, Chris. I can stomach it better than you can. Anyway, don't you think poker looks cool in the movies? James Bond is always playing poker with somebody. There's a great poker scene in that movie Rounders, all about poker. As soon as I watched Rounders, I thought to myself, wow, I'd be great at that. That was the first thing I thought. But they have a guy's poker night lots of times in my neighborhood, and I never end up going, so I don't want to go lose a bunch of money. So that's what, stop, Chris, stop. I don't want to hear that from you. I don't want to go lose a bunch of money. I want to play poker, but I want to play with someone else's money. That's what I feel like. I want to enjoy the game, but not lose any of my own cash. That's really my goal in the whole thing. Now, I want your goal to be to put your phone down and go enjoy your weekend. I promise all the problems will be there Monday, and so will we. All right? That's all.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.